In today's episode, the Funsphere Movie Club settles the debate about Christmas movies once and for all. And we sort of talk about Die Hard.
Christmas music to play?
No.
Play some little jingle jangles.
So personally, as someone that has worked in retail, I have the utmost hatred for Christmas music. To this point, and I mean, it has been plus 20 years since I've worked in a retail setting, I cannot stand Christmas music.
I love it.
The only Christmas song I can listen to with like, without like just wanting to tear my eyeballs out or my ears off is
Wonderful Christmas Time.
No, hate that song the most. Yes, it is. Sir Paul McCartney should be ashamed of himself.
You're crazy.
No. It is Billy Squire's Christmas is a Time to Say I Love You. That's the only time. That's the only song I can.
I don't even think I'm familiar with that one.
So This Is Christmas song makes me feel nauseous, sick. It unlocks very awful core memories. I can't hear it.
So This Is Christmas? John Lennon?
Yeah.
John Lennon, yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
but
yeah.
Otherwise,
so,
you know what? Christmas music, this can go in the thing. Christmas music, I'm listening to it, some like of the really religious ones, and... Uh-huh. Like, sorry to anybody who's religious, but like, just listening to
those
lyrics.
Did you maybe say that without the tone of voice?
It's so wild, okay? Like, hearing, like, we are here to praise this baby, and if we praise him, all we'll be so happy and our sins will be... It sounds, there's like no difference between that and like the religion in a video, like a fantasy video game or something. Like it's it sounds exactly the same, and I'm like, but this is like just accepted as fact for a lot of people.
Well,
and I just it was very bizarre. I think it was Silent Night I was listening to or something.
Okay,
and I'm just like,
gotcha.
This is so weird.
Well, there is one thing we all can agree on here on Funsphere Movie Club.
That little drummer boy sucks.
No!
I always think of On the Office of Angela just holding the microphone like this and singing that.
I was going to say, we can confirm that in, what was this? I want to say, July 1988, one man
came
did.
Out in July?
Yes. One man did come and save Christmas for sure, and that man's name was John McClane. Hi. I'm Agent Johnson.
I'm the little drummer boy.
I'm the soundtrack.
And I'm on-screen debut Alan Rickman.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Was it really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Or JJ.
Yep. All right, so today we are talking about 1988's action film Die Hard, a.k.a. the best Christmas movie ever. Ooh, that's our topic of discussion. So just a quick rundown for any of you poor, unfortunate people that have not seen this cinematic masterpiece. Die Hard is a 1988 action film directed by John McTiernan.
I thought it was a Christmas film.
It is, but it's an action Christmas film. And it's based on a book, 1979's Nothing Lasts Forever, by Roderick Thorpe, who wrote the film. And as JJ mentioned, it does star Mr. Alan Rickman, also Bruce Willis in his I don't think it was his debut in film, but it was like his big breakout film. Bonnie Bedelia, Reginald Vell Johnson, and you know,
some other
folk. Yes, and this amazing Christmas/action film takes place at the Christmas party at the Nakatomi Tower that is taken over by terrorists. And it just gets even better from there, folks. So who first encountered this as just a normal movie and then noticed it morphed into a discussion about becoming a Christmas movie later in life? Because I will certainly be that person if need be. Okay. JJ, yeah.
Me as well.
Okay. So
I saw the movie fairly recently, at least within the past decade, I guess. So by then I had already heard all of the stuff, like the discussion about the movie.
Okay. Samantha, were you familiar with the film prior to it becoming a Christmas classic?
I first saw it with Skid, so I'm in the same boat as Mike. You guys talk.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, JJ, when did you first see the film, and like when then did you hear the discussion about it becoming a Christmas film?
So I probably saw it for the first time in the early 90s. I think I saw it on TNT as the made-for-TV version of it.
Yes.
No cursing, none of that. So it's probably 3 minutes long. Guy walks in, and all of a sudden Christmas is saved. So that's how I remember the movie. But it wasn't until my 30s until I started hearing people having this conversation. Is it a holiday movie or a Christmas movie for that matter?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know. I just thought it was about a guy who's, you know, just trying to save his wife at a Christmas party. But I never thought of it as a Christmas movie. But then everyone had all these facts that they brought up about the plot line. I'm like, okay, listen, I can't argue because you're stuck to it. That is what you're going to say. And I have to agree with it. So.
Okay. So I, interestingly enough, heard this much earlier. I was a freshman in college, so I would have been about 19 when I first heard the first argument that Die Hard was a Christmas movie. I remember it being in the school paper, and I was like, that makes total sense. It is 100% a Christmas movie now that I think about it. And
so your definition of it being a Christmas movie is it has to take place at Christmas.
All right, let's get into that.
Wait. For any of that, I am wondering. Okay. So this argument must have originated on a television show or something like that. That and everybody was just like, yeah.
I'm assuming that it either had started out in some TV show or it was a very early internet board discussion about whether or not the film was a Christmas movie.
I feel like I've heard it talked about a lot, but I can't pinpoint a single source that has the debate.
No, I don't know where it originated. I will flat out say that. That was the first time I encountered it. But I know that
I even saw shows that reference it.
Yeah.
Like
now, yes.
Now that they do the like one of the later Office episodes, one of the new guys was quoting like the whole movie to what's her name, who became the receptionist after Pam,
Aaron,
who did Kimmy. Yeah, Aaron, because she had not seen it, and I think it was during one of the Christmas episodes that they went over that. And then there was like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine where they went to a store and it turned into a Die Hard situation.
I feel like I can see this, and I'm just totally making this up. I can see it originating on like in like an SNL sketch or something like that, that a lot of people would have seen in it, or like some sitcom, and then everybody just like Big Bang Theory, not that one, but like that sort of thing. And then, you know, everybody just started repeating it.
Okay, so I'm looking, and on on the Wikipedia article, there is a line that says, or the last line is, thanks to its Christmas Eve setting, the film is considered one, is often named as one of the best Christmas films, although its status as a Christmas film is disputed. So we're going to, today the Funsphere Movie Club is going to end the dispute. We will have this conversation amongst these four genius level people that we obviously all are.
You really think we're all going to be able to get on the same page by the time this is over?
No. But we will have, I hope to say, maybe the... Oh my God, there is someone that wrote a literal article about the thematic analysis of the film.
That's stupid.
Oh, I'm sure it's half college graduate's thesis.
Yes, I was just looking to see if there was maybe any knowledge about it being or acknowledgement of where the debate about it being a Christmas film start. All right, so like I said, let's get into it. Is this a Christmas film because the setting and the day is Christmas Eve that the events of the movie take place?
I guess.
Is that maybe the quintessential requirement of a Christmas movie, that it be set at that time?
I think that is what it has going for it the most, is that it takes place during Christmas and there are Christmas decorations throughout the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the strongest argument.
He has a Christmas present for his children. One present, right? For multiple kids.
Yes. Yes, but one of them is a giant bear, yes. And to be fair, only one of the children have a speaking part. The other one appears to just be
so the one who can talk gets a present.
That's how life works, right?
Oh, sorry, I forgot about you. You never say anything.
That's right.
All right. Okay, I will participate in this conversation. I just have a different sort of thing to talk about first.
All right, start us off, and we'll see.
Know that this in the 80s there was like a big thing, a big fear of like Japan taking over with technology and their business and stuff. Like them slowly just kind of like China now, I guess, you know. On the business side.
Right.
And this had me wonder, and then that got me thinking, like, I kind of wish that did happen. Like, maybe we'd have better trains.
Okay, so what you're referring to is the fact that in the 1980s, there was a big economic boom in Japan, and a lot of companies started investing overseas and bringing their technology overseas and buying companies. Stuff like that did happen, and it still happens today. There's still plenty of businesses that have Japanese, Chinese, like you mentioned, other businesses that always invest in other countries, just like we invest, or businesses in the United States invest in other countries. But yes, it was actually, it's kind of funny though, because this is in the late 80s, and the economic boom, I think, in Japan had already ended, so... I guess maybe that's a holdover from when the novel
that's what
was
about
written.
To say, or ask.
Yeah. Okay. But I still think Nakatomi Tower or Nakatomi Plaza is like one of the best like names for anything to happen. It sounds like a Tekken Tag tournament's going to happen there. Like the Mishima Zaibatsu is going to attack the Nakatomi Corporation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I just thought of another one that's like, I guess Weyland Otani from Aliens is another one of those corporations that would have been founded or during this time, I guess, of the Japanese culture. Definitely.
What was the
business?
What was the one in RoboCop?
That is OCP.
Okay.
And they are not foreignly influenced, I believe.
Yeah, that was just a thought I had. I'd be interested.
But they would also use the Ed 209 to attack Nakatomi Plaza, I believe. I think they would certainly try as part of a hostile takeover.
Yeah, they definitely would have just taken down the entire tower with Ed 209.
Okay. All right, so That aside, yes, that is definitely a interesting historical fact that's kind of referenced in this movie that really, I think, maybe stands out the most in this movie. So let's get back to it as a Christmas film. So like I said, we have acknowledged that, yes, the film does take place at Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
And that we consider that the bare minimum for a Christmas
movie.
And
the bare minimum of a Christmas present.
Okay, yes. Giant bears for one talking child is the bare minimum Christmas
present. That's why his wife is leaving.
Now, if...
No.
If they had a shot at some point in the, like, the background in the sky, they had Santa flying over... absolutely Christmas movie.
So does that then make Mortal Kombat a Christmas video game? Because in the original arcade, on the bridge across the moon, like to trigger the secret fight with Reptile, you had to get either Santa or the witch flying across the moon to trigger that fight.
So that never happened in Die Hard. So that
no,
didn't
it
get
did
to
not.
Fight.
There was no secret fight with Reptile. There was just many fights with many men.
So when McClane was walking across the glass, looks up at the sunset, or at least the moon, and sees Santa, and then gets a second win and saves the day, then you're like, that's definitely Christmas.
That would add, like, super bonus points to it being a Christmas movie, right?
That would be cool, though, to have, like, a movie that is pretty... I mean, although it's sensational, it's still, like, very much grounded in reality. To have just one little throwaway, like, hey, this world's pretty magical.
Okay, so the scenario...
I would love that kind.
It's a deadly premonition of movies.
Yeah.
All right, who's seen Scrooged?
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Oh, I have.
Okay, so you, that's the one where they're making the Santa Claus gets like fully armed, right? So, like, what if Santa came and joined John McClane in taking down the terrorists?
If Santa died during that, then he would be rebuilt as a robot and become the Santa from Futurama.
Okay, so, all right, let's take the counterpoint. What makes this not a Christmas movie then?
Well, you said it debuted
yeah, it
in the summer.
July.
Yes.
That's a strike.
So, okay.
Is that the origin of Christmas in July?
Not that I'm aware of, but maybe. I would like to contribute that to Die Hard if we can get that started. All right, so does a Christmas movie have to come out in Christmas time?
Yeah, yes.
I think it helps.
Okay, so it's, again, it helps, but it doesn't. It's not required, right? Because I was gonna say, all right, let's take another example. How about The Nightmare Before Christmas? Is it a Christmas movie?
Yes, they reference Christmas. Yeah.
It's a joint. It's
That's why at Disneyland, I don't know about Disney World, Haunted Mansion becomes Nightmare Before Christmas themed, starting at Halloween through Christmas.
Okay.
It's a multi-holiday movie.
But again, it did not come out during Christmas time. I remember seeing that like shortly after my birthday. I'm pretty sure it came out like in October. So
that's still fits,
also, Josh, to your point, like what is the cycle of Christmas time? So imagine going shopping in October and all of a sudden you see the Christmas tree up at one of your favorite stores. All of a sudden, are you in Christmas time? I don't know. I mean, to Die Hard's point, every day might be Christmas.
Especially if you have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. I was going to say, so for me, all right, this is good because like we're getting like a good idea of everybody's interpretations of Christmas. For me, Christmas does not start until the day after Thanksgiving. Okay.
Well, mine's close. I think that it can officially be Christmas and things can be decorated as soon as you see Santa on the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Okay, yeah, that's basically the same.
So,
okay, that's fair.
I got you.
He is the introduction to the Christmas season, but I hate whenever I see it any time before that.
Like August 1st, like at so many stores nowadays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy, Troy, Skid's friend that is also in Glass Cannon, he's like obsessed with Christmas, like obsessed. And for him, I think he starts going full Christmas like November 1st, just a little too early.
Ooh. Too early.
Actually, that was a topic of conversation at work. There were a lot of people that were decorating for Christmas pre-Thanksgiving. Mm-mm. And that is just unacceptable in my opinion.
It's always been the day after. I think it's because my family, we always put the tree up the day after Thanksgiving. So it just sort of...
Mm-hmm. Like that weekend.
Okay. Now, I'll also admit, I am so anti-decorating for anything. Story time with Josh. So Josh's mom was a artist, and I mean flat out artist when it came to decorating for holidays, to the point where the day after Thanksgiving was dreaded by the Hearst brothers because it meant that the Picasso was about to go nuts. So what we would have to do is get up at like 8 a.m., right? And we'd have to start hauling out the different scenarios. My mom had at least 5 different color themes to go for Christmas. And when I say theme, we're talking like 10 boxes each of decorations to match that theme.
Oh, wow.
So the day after Thanksgiving was dreaded because we were going to be working our asses off all the time, hauling stuff. And if you were lucky, you got to be put on outside light duty and got to work with Pops to put up the lights and not have to haul the stuff. And we didn't get to decorate with Mom. We were just literally the pack animals that moved boxes. And I cannot tell you how many times she'd be like halfway through and she's like, you know what? Stop. I'm not going to go with the plaid that's more red than green this year. We're going to change to the plaid that's more green than red. So put all this back up for me and go get the other sets. So I am now vehemently opposed to decorating for any holiday. I do not take any joy in holiday decoration. It just reminds me of extensive workloads.
My mom.
I'm the opposite.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You go first. It's pretty similar. Like, I took a day off work because I wanted to do laundry. And so I went up to her house, and she wanted me to help her decorate. And she still goes all out, and I still have to bring everything down from the attic, which is fine because I don't want her to fall down the stairs. And it's like, it's so much work. And yeah, my whole childhood was like that, bringing stuff down up from the basement, down from the attic or whatever, no matter where we lived. Always somewhere I was, or in from the garage, and just hundreds of boxes and tubs and so many things. But then I always appreciate how it looks at the end.
Oh, yeah. It always looked great, fantastic. But it was like, ugh. And then,
a lot of work.
So when does Christmas end then? I'll ask this. So we got our start date established. When does the Christmas season end?
Then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was the opposite. I would not only mostly single-handedly decorate our house at home. I would then go to both of my grandparents' houses and decorate theirs.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I've just always loved Christmas decorations. Okay. And, we never got to do anything outside. My parents made the excuse because the way that our house was built, we didn't have any outlets out there, and they didn't want to have to run extension cords through the garage.
Yeah.
So we never got to do outdoor decorations. And as a result, now that we have our house, I go ham. Hopefully you guys will see it at Festivus, but we not only have like the whole front is covered, but then Angela found this T-Rex inflatable that's in the side yard that's just holding a gift and has a Santa hat on. Cute. It's pretty funny.
It's amazing.
All right, JJ, where do you land on the decorating and stuff?
The same. We would do it the day after Thanksgiving, but not as big. Just put up a tree, listen to music. That was about it. Pretty simple. We lived in apartments growing up, and then when we got our house, we didn't really buy decorations for outdoors. We just kind of did it small, but always had a good time doing it. So to everyone's point, we'll do it like around, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, maybe a week after if we're all being lazy. So, yeah. But that was about it.
Okay. All right. So now we've got our timeline and decorations established. When does it end? What is the
January
date?
2nd.
Okay. January 2nd.
Well, we would always have plans like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So the day after New Year's was always the like, all right, time to get shit done. Get this stuff out of my set.
Okay. So in my household, it was a tradition. The tree never came down until after the New Year. But again, much like the 26th, January 2nd was the second day that was dreaded because now it was time to put that all up. Like, you got to get all the lights off the house, stuff like that. Like, it was, you have to get it immediately. I'm not one of those people that she was not one of those people that would take like 2 weeks to let the outside lights stay on or anything like that. No, had to go. Like, it was. It gets put up, it stays up, and then it gets put away immediately. Like, some people are a little lackadaisical with their taking decorations down.
Mm-hmm. Like, the first couple months of the year.
Like, they may get to it, like, in August, like, by the time that it's almost time to put them back up.
That's what has always driven me crazy, is, like, it makes it less special if it's not a shorter amount of time.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, I've never understood the people who the tree goes up like the day before Christmas. And then it's only up for like, because they consider the Christmas calendar is like Christmas to the new year. So it's that 1 week and that's the holiday season.
Really?
I've never understood that because it's too much work for such a short amount of time.
I can't say that I've ever encountered anyone that has that type of tradition.
The movie The Christmas Story. Remember, they're shopping for their tree, a few days before Christmas.
That's true. They are.
Maybe it's a northern thing.
I don't think
Maybe it is.
I lived in Illinois.
Like, we're talking Minnesota or
Maybe
something
it's,
like
they
that.
They lived in
Michigan.
Didn't they live in Ohio?
They
okay,
lived
so
in
right
Indiana.
Next to Illinois.
Okay. Oh, Indian.
I don't think so. It's just that movie thing.
All right, so
maybe it was a 50s thing.
Maybe it was. That could be it. Could be it. All right, so back to
wait. I didn't answer because the call froze and dropped for me or something. I was like in space for
Go
a
ahead.
Little bit. Anyway, first week of the new year. I have two Christmas trees. That's
first
like one's really small, and then one that Jackie gave me. So that's all I have. But I love them. I love how cozy they make downstairs. But as soon as it's like done with Christmas, I just put them away so I don't have to clean up after them or watch Diane chew on the Christmas light bulbs.
Mm-hmm. That's Ruby for us.
She's gonna get electrocuted or glass. I don't know. Anyway.
All right.
We had to put a bell at the bottom of the tree. So when she starts messing with it, we hear it and can get after
her. There's that spray like that smells kind of like pepper. It works. I just ran out of it. Just spray that on the tree. It's like, they hate it.
All right. One last real quick question. Real tree or
fake?
Plastic? Fake.
It's just easier.
Fake.
See, my family is like, you can put up a tiny tree if it's fake, but if you're putting up a real Christmas tree, it's got to be a real tree.
That.
You got to have that pine saw smell throughout the entire
like
house.
That. Yeah.
Just get an air
it's
freshener.
Like, I guess it's fine, but like, I'd rather just put it in a box when I'm done instead of haul it somewhere.
Is there a definitive answer on which is better for the environment? Both seem wasteful. Obviously the plastic use and everything, but then you're getting way more of a shelf life out of it. Except a lot of trees now, like, we had a really hard time finding a tree that did not pre-installed lights, which doesn't make sense to me because we can't, I mean, you and I are not the only two people with cats that go after the cables.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just like a, and plus Christmas lights suck. Like, they break, they stop working all the time. So.
Yeah. So they've essentially turned the plastic trees is like just as disposable as the real trees, where you're buying a new one every year.
I'll say this.
Go on.
I think real trees are better for the environment because of the following.
Yeah.
Biodegradable, completely biodegradable, right? Pine trees typically grow really fast. So like a Christmas tree is usually planted maybe 2-3 years before it's actually harvested.
Yeah.
Really? So, that's short.
Yeah, they don't, because they're not full grown. So they're easy to replant, easy to yes you are.
Well, we would like to at some point, because they KUB had to come and cut down one of the bigger trees in our yard.
Yeah,
so we have this big open space that it'd be cool if we had like an actual growing Christmas tree that we could decorate every year.
Yeah.
So we need to look into doing that.
Yeah, like Christmas tree farms are, like I said, they're renewed. They, I think, plant every 2-3 years. Now, of course, if you're trying to get one for like Rockefeller Center, that one's gonna have to grow for a couple of years. But
yeah.
But yeah,
I just need to look into how you grow a tree.
You stick it in the dirt, and
it's just like
Stardew.
You don't have to
much,
water
bud.
Them. Just like make sure there's enough space. So like,
I mean, I can't even get grass to grow in our yard. It, like, there's so much clay.
I was gonna say the only thing I think we can grow them here in our area. They're not necessary. They won't grow like throughout the entire United States or anything. I think the only thing you may have to keep in mind is sunlight, as far as getting those to grow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that side of the yard gets a lot more sun than.
Yeah, I think you can
like
do
say the back.
The people who bought the lot next to my mom's house, they ripped out all the trees. So they, because they're afraid of a tree falling on their house, they bought a plot in the forest, and then ripped out all the trees.
I was gonna say JJ knows all about trees falling.
I do. It's awful. Well, and so does Josh as well, right?
Yeah. Yep. I had definitely had one drop on the house when I was a kid at my parents' house, and I removed two trees from my property just for that exact reason.
Well, right next to your house, okay. But I'm talking about like way across the lot, and also in a forest. Why would you buy a house in a forest if you don't want any trees? Mm. Anyway, so there used to be like a wall of trees in between the lots, so you couldn't see each other, and now it's just bare.
And I will say this to also help with Mike. Pine trees do not really get too deep into the soil, so they are more prone to be knocked over by storms.
Fall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So.
Because flooding is definitely an issue in this area.
My mom's going to plant a wall of pine trees because there's a certain species that grows really, really tall and really, really fast.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of the
privacy
line with trees. It also helps with traffic, the sound.
Damn.
We just can't because we have power lines that are running the whole stretch of the road.
Is there
so
a
we can't do
can't
anything
go
tall.
Underground? Is it just like the logistics of moving them? Okay.
They're cheap. They don't want to invest in it. It's so ugly, though. I wish we would go underground.
That is not as... Man, we're getting so far.
I told you it would happen on its own.
Yeah, but we're like, instead of talking about like Christmas movies like I thought we might, we're talking about the logistics of overhead versus underground
in the context
wiring
of planting
city.
A whole bunch of Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll circle back. Just give it give it time.
Well, we can talk
but
about...
But what was your argument going to be?
It is. I think they've done research. It is actually better and easier to run power overhead than it is underground.
I'm sure it's easier to troubleshoot because you have to dig everything up.
It's easier to troubleshoot. It's easier to develop any kind of property around it. You know, unless you were like SimCity building a city and town like all at once, it's almost impossible to kind of like grid it out perfectly so that it would
They're
be a
so
vi-
stupid.
More viable
option. Put them
option.
Underground. Let the lizard people tend to them.
Now you know.
I mean, we already have a pretty
lizard people aren't
pretty good
do the
cave
job.
System.
You know, I'm sorry. I take a very anti-lizard people stance. I know it's not a popular stance, but I prefer the mole people over the lizard people, and I think they do a better job. And until they get that contract, that union contract for the underground wiring, I'm very right. against it, okay? All right.
Man, I've had some wiring woes this past week because we just had fiber installed.
Okay.
And so our utility box, where all the power and everything comes in, is on the back corner of our house.
Yeah.
But then everything needs to come in to the complete opposite side.
Yep.
And so in the years of our slumlord, he just had them throw the cable lines over the roof and down.
Or was here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were like, well, I mean, it looks tacky, so we don't want to do that. But our options are going to be, we're going to have to run it along the house. And I was like, yeah, that should be fine. But then, and like the lines they ran were white. So that's kind of close. Our house is yellow.
Yeah.
But then the ties that they used were black. Yeah. So now I've got a bunch of black ties lining the house. I did tell Angela we should do a black front
that
door and
cool.
black trim to make it a bee house.
That actually would look good. I'd like
I
that.
Think so. She is very much against it.
Well, as long as you fix your freaking screen door so that it's not backwards is all I care about.
Yeah.
The storm door. The storm door, yes. All right. So I thought of a way we can turn
we're
this
talking
back
about
to
Die
Hard.
Hard.
You know who? Yeah, and Christmas movies.
There, we're already there.
Yep. All right. Okay, so I think if I can draw a consensus here, the Funsphere Movie Club is in agreement that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Is anyone taking the opposite stance here?
No.
I am fine with it being either one. I've never been too wrapped up in it needs
same.
To be one or the other.
So a lot of people will make the argument about Christmas movies that it needs to be about Christmas itself, right? In some way, shape, or form. So,
I will say that it feels kind of weird. Like, I can't imagine watching this movie in July with as much Christmas as there is in it. So that maybe that's another point. Because like we were talking about, we don't like seeing Christmas outside of the Christmas season.
Yeah, you wouldn't watch Over the Garden Wall in the middle of summer. Or even at Christmas.
No.
Yeah.
Nope, too late.
Unless you like taking your decorations down
in
July.
If you're doing like a Christmas in July.
2 weeks later, bringing them back up.
I think we did. We may have talked about it, but we found the sweet spot for Over the Garden Wall.
Okay.
And it's right after Halloween.
Yeah,
like that
yeah.
first week of November. Because it hits the beginning and the end.
Because
it goes through winter as well.
Because it starts on Over the Garden Wall starts on Halloween night, basically, technically. So, yeah, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The time between seasons, like the cusp. That's great. Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Gotcha. Okay. So, my biggest, like, when people make the argument, like, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie because it's not about Christmas. You know what example I like to point to that people, guess what? It's a Wonderful Life isn't about Christmas either. But it's always considered a Christmas movie. Think about it. The central plot of It's a Wonderful Life does not it takes place at Christmas, but it does not involve the Christmas
that
season whatsoever.
Silly.
Also, that movie is interesting in a couple other facts too. So the reason it always plays at Christmas was because it was a huge flop, and it was always available for like cheap fees on TV. So stations would play it because it was really cheap to play when there's nothing on. So that's how it got to be a Christmas thing. Also, the bad guy in that movie gets away with it totally. Totally gets
away
with it.
Wait, are we talking about Wonderful Life or Die Hard?
We're talking about Wonderful Life. Okay, no, so Gruber gets totally owned.
That's why I was confused. But that's why there's a SNL sketch for Wonderful Life where everybody smacks him, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I haven't
seen
that.
There's an SNL sketch for It's a Wonderful Life where it's like the end of the movie, but instead of him just being him being like, okay, I learned my lesson, I think everybody beats the shit out of him.
No, like Hans Gruber and his terrorist cadre definitely get their comeuppance thanks to John McClane and Sergeant Al Powell.
I can't hear the name Hans Gruber and most of the things from this movie without thinking of the Bob's Burger episode where they do work hard or die trying. So like that song has been playing in my head the whole time.
I hope that one day they flesh that out into a full like 45-minute special, because I would totally watch that. That is one of my favorite episodes too, because it's such a good idea to have a school play of Die Hard and Working Girl, the sassy sister film to Die Hard.
Does anybody want coffee? Like I always just think of that. That song has just been in my head this whole time, and I always think of Zeke's like wrestling sounds.
Yes. Okay, so what was I gonna say? So I've got a pet fan theory for this film too. So we know Sergeant Al Powell, right? We know the actor that plays him. I think that after the events of the Nakatomi Tower, we do get to see Al in Die Hard 2, but I'm a firm believer he relocated to Chicago and changed his name to Officer Carl Winslow, and then had some zany adventures with his wacky neighbor Steve Urkel.
So you're saying to that show?
Yes. So, because
it's the same actor.
It's the same actor. And he plays a cop again. Why would he be a cop again? He's like Purd. They could have made him something else.
Yeah.
Purd happily.
Well, can you see him as anything else, though? I mean.
No. I literally can't. No. Now that you mention it. And it's.
I mean, think about it. Yeah, if he was the villain in Die Hard and Alan Rickman was the police officer. Like, how weird would that movie be?
Oh. That would be very, very weird. I think he could play it, but I just can't see Rickman as an officer.
I thought the opposite. I could see Rickman more I could see him as the villain. He's just like
Alan Rickman.
He's got a natural smile to his face that I don't think he could be a bad guy.
We watched
Alan.
Not
Rickman.
No. I think that I don't see what's his name being the villain. I can see Rickman being the cop.
You can see Reginald Vell Johnson being the villain.
Yeah, I could not see him being a villain.
I don't know. Also, so some other just little interesting tidbits about this. So both Schwarzenegger and Stallone passed on this movie, and that's how we got Bruce Willis in this role, because he was in TV before that. He was on Moonlighting.
I know.
Yep, you know. Oh,
did you know there was a third person that passed on it as well?
No, who?
Based off of the book, he had the rights to be in the movie, but he was 73 by the time the movie came out, so he passed. Well. I just read this not too long ago. Oh my gosh, Samantha, do you know off the top of your head?
I was joking.
Oh my goodness.
John Wayne?
One of the Rat Pack. Was it? Frank Sinatra, yes.
Really?
No. Yeah, because of the book rights. So he had to be asked to be McClane in, well, at least for the movie rights.
Yeah, so. Okay. So I do know the book is different from the movie in the fact that it's like John McClane is the main character, but it's not his wife he's going to see at the Christmas party. It's his daughter. And he's much older, so maybe that's why Sinatra had the rights.
Yeah. Wow. That would be like... That's funny because Bruce Willis, he's in that movie with the old people who are fighters, yes?
Yeah, yes. The Expendables, right? Expendables. He's in one of them, yeah, or two.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, poor Bruce Willis. I'm sad to hear the news about him recently.
Right. Yeah. Alan Rickman... Bruce Willis also yelled at Kevin Smith, right, for sucking at being a director. We watched Dogma recently, and I had never seen that movie, but my parents loved it, and it's not good.
Really? I remember.
Everybody
it
probably
good,
but does,
I
but it was
admit,
pretty stupid, and like.
I haven't watched it many, many
well,
years.
Well, to be fair, a lot of Kevin Smith's movies are pretty stupid.
Yeah, they were talking about them on those kids' other podcasts, so I've learned a lot about. Seen a lot of Kevin Smith retrospectives in the past few weeks, and I've also come to realize that he's not very good at making movies.
What movie did Bruce Willis do with Kevin Smith? Why would he yell at him for being a bad director?
With him and Tracy Morgan, was it Cop Out?
Maybe that's it. I remember that story, but I was like, what movie did they work on together to... I don't think Bruce Willis just showed up randomly at Kevin Smith's filming and said, you suck at being
a
director.
Get out of here. No, I think he was like asking him about like camera angles or lighting or directions or something, and Kevin Smith did not know any of it. Bruce Willis got really mad at him.
Well, I'd be like, Bruce Willis, you were in Hudson Hawk, so shut up.
Ooh. Ooh.
I think that would immediately shut him down forever.
Well, Somebody must have said it to him recently.
Must have. Oh, Samantha! Oh, that is so bad.
It's okay. He's not going to know I said it.
Oh!
No, I didn't mean it like that. So I just mean he'll never hear it. Like, unless he's... Bruce Willis, I'm sorry if you listen to our podcast, but it's not personal. It was just a really good joke.
What if he's a diehard fan of the podcast? Okay, so we agree, diehard, totally Christmas movie.
I think if it becomes something that you watch, like it seems like a lot of people watch it every Christmas, so it is a Christmas movie.
So... I'm not, like, the biggest fan of many Christmas movies. I do have a few that I have to watch every year.
Grinch.
I do start out with Die Hard. That's the one I literally, like, the official start of Christmas movie season is Die Hard. I'm going to watch A Christmas Story, obviously. I'm going to watch Muppets Christmas Carol. I'm also going to watch Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. The best. And I will rotate years where I watch Home Alone.
Okay, we've already watched Home Alone. But yeah, that one I think, especially, I think just because of when it came out, that is like, I think, responsible for all my Christmas fantasies. Just like the vibe of it. Especially the second one. not the plot of the movie, but just like the music, the general feeling, the decorations, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how I am with Peanuts. Yeah. Like, the older I've gotten, the more I've gotten away from, like, the whole message of the special, but I still watch it for
the aesthetics.
Nostalgia, the aesthetic, the music.
The dancing. The atmosphere, not so much the content as the general aura.
Okay, so I'm going to go down to just a list here. We're gonna do some votes about Christmas movies, okay? Gremlins, Christmas movie or not Christmas movie?
I think Sid and I watched it at Christmas, but go on.
It's a Christmas movie, based off of what we just said about Die Hard, then it would definitely be a Christmas movie.
And Gizmo is a Christmas
gift. It is,
gift,
and her dad died pretending to be Santa.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
I guess I need to go back and rewatch it.
Gremlins 2, not so much, but...
No.
Maybe I'm thinking of 2 then.
And the big fight at the toy store at the end, you're like, I want all that stuff, you know? So.
Okay. Gotcha. Bad Santa, Christmas movie or not?
Not seen it.
I've never seen it.
Really? Okay.
But
just
it looks so trashy.
It is trashy. let's see here. I'm trying to think of some other ones that are.
I was not a fan of those. A lot of the 90s and 2000s movies.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Very crude humor. Okay. It doesn't age well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always
raunchy.
Market it as the unrated version. You know, you saw the theatrical release and unrated Bad Santa. You're like, oh, okay, sure, why not? Okay. But no, never saw it.
Gotcha. All right. Since Gremlin was such a hot take, I thought that was interesting. All right. Let's talk about, you mentioned some movies that you got to watch at Christmas. Like what are, and Mike mentions, do you watch more Christmas movies or Christmas TV specials?
Oh.
Which was the bigger one for you? I think I know which one is mine.
Well, I think specials.
There's a couple movies, but I love the Doctor Who Christmas specials. And I always watch the 30 Rock Christmas episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how a lot of these platforms are now sorting all the Christmas episodes for you.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I surprisingly, this morning I was on Pluto, one of the free channels, and watched a Scrooge type show called Christmas Karen. And it was about a Karen who
learns the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, it was early. It was around. It was so bad, but I couldn't stop watching it. So I don't know
that
what I'm doing
with
my life.
No, I think you're doing the right thing.
I think that does sound like time well spent. I agree. Maybe that will be like the next big one that's like everyone will watch Christmas Karen. Like, I remember when A Christmas Story was kind of like a, like, I don't want to call it underground, but like a, you know, what's the
cult
classic. It was a cult classic until it really like landed on TNT and now everyone has seen it, right? So like,
Jackie somehow got it in her head that it's our family tradition to watch Christmas Story every year, but I was like, I don't know, I think it just kind of happened, but whatever, she's like really attached to it.
I think it happened because it's all, they just show it all day long. So anytime you're at a family event, you just want something on in the background and it just happens.
You know what? It's another weird one kind of in my family because it also, for some reason, happens to get shown a lot at Christmas. The Godfather trilogy. For some reason, AMC always played 1 and 2.
I wonder if it's because they think a lot of grandpas Christmas are bored.
Probably. Yeah.
Well... So I think Mike and I can easily answer that question. You got to put a movie with a lot of time on it because you have limited staff working. So if you think of that in kind of environment, you want to be able to have limited people working, but an easy job for them to do that day. Okay. To be
that
able
makes
to put,
sense.
Yeah. So Godfather's perfect.
Or just the same movie on a loop like TBS does with Christmas Story, right?
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
All right, so what's the best Christmas special? Are we saying, is it Grinch? Is it Peanuts? Is it Simpsons?
Star Wars?
Not Star Wars, JJ. It's,
no, that one is
you
the best.
For trying.
You learn a lot about Wookiees.
Oh, you sure do.
They wear lipstick.
Yep.
It deepens the lore. Come on. You guys.
Or is it, like, do you have a write-in? Let's go around here.
Or like the
Rudolph. Always watch those. I always watched the one with the Burgermeister.
Frosty.
What was that one?
The Year Without a Santa Claus?
No,
is that
I think
the one?
Yeah.
Burgermeister.
You mean the Heatmeister?
Was that Santa Claus
yes,
is coming
yes,
to town?
Yes.
The Heatmeister.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah.
All right. So that's Samantha's. Mike, where you at? Which one?
I think Rudolph.
Rudolph. Okay. JJ.
It's pretty iconic.
I go with him at August all day.
Yeah.
All day.
So this may not surprise some of you, but Simpsons roasting on an open fire is the one that I watch every year. Although all those other ones too, I try to watch those.
Growing up, we always watched Santa Claus Coming to Town and all those, but that's what I remember the most. Personally, I like to watch my favorite Doctor Who ones. And you know what? I really like the Ron Howard Grinch, even though I know it's not a good movie. I just enjoy it. Like,
oh,
it's so weird that the
Was that the live action one?
Yeah,
with
the camera
Jim Carrey?
Has that weird filter, so it looks like the lens is dirty. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So, what about this? The older that we get, how do you introduce a new Christmas movie, or do you, or no new movies coming through at all?
Elf.
Elf was the biggest one. That because you know you get it in your mind that like it right. has to be nostalgic to hit that same mark, but the first time I saw it, I was like, "Yeah, this
Elf
one's sticking around." Did you guys see the one on HBO a couple years ago about the NES?
8-bit Christmas.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah, that
Christmas.
one was actually pretty good.
I have yet to watch that. I'm actually kind of like stick in the mud. I like the old classics. Like I even like to watch like the original A Miracle on 34th Street versus the remake.
That, the 90s one I used to love when I was a kid.
Like I kind of like the oldest one and stuff like that. I don't know, like I said, I go through years where it's like, all right, I want to watch Christmas movies this year. Like I'm feeling that now where like last year I was like, I only want to watch a few. I don't really feel it. That's something I've definitely have noticed. Like when you were a kid and stuff like that, like this season was like must see a movie and TV appointment viewing because you had to make sure to hit like all the specials and stuff like that.
You know, I wonder, JJ can probably speak to this being a parent, but I would think it'd be easier to like bring in a new movie to the rotation when there's like kids, because they might figure out, like, say they want to watch something and then it just becomes a thing.
Right. So it's the classics. I mean, Home Alone, we always watch Home Alone with Brennan. We do Vacation every year on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then, there's really nothing new, but if you think about new movies that even have Christmas themes in it, like we took Brennan to see Shazam in the movie theaters, and the last act of that movie is all around Christmas time. So then you have this whole movie that's a superhero movie, but then almost to the conversation of Die Hard, is Shazam now a Christmas movie?
Oh my God.
Do you want?
I'm going to have to go on this tangent because you reminded me of it, and I just saw it this week. Do you guys remember Kazam?
Yes.
Yeah, with Shaq.
With Shaq, right?
Yeah.
Or was it?
Yes, it was Shaq.
Shazam.
No, it's Kazam. It was legally
so
distinct.
No, so it is. It's Shazam then, with oh my God, what is his name?
Which
Sinbad.
Doesn't exist, apparently.
No,
have you?
It doesn't exist. Yeah.
And yet, so many people have memories of it.
I don't know.
Right.
And it's a weird, it's a, what do they call it?
Yeah,
Mandela.
It's weird because I definitely have memories of it, and I know that I thought of it that way before people started talking about it.
And it wasn't even like confusing Shaq's movie with Sinbad's. They just seem like two different movies that happen around the same time, and I don't know what Sinbad would have done that.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm
maybe
confusing
it wasn't Sinbad.
It with.
Maybe there was another genie movie with somebody who kind of looks like Sinbad. Genie movies.
Okay.
Sinbad.
Sinbad.
Yeah, to your point, Mike, I remember, I mean, almost to the point where I remember watching a movie like that, and I don't, I have no idea.
It's just creepy that so many people, and like hearing everybody's reasoning by like why people think this, it was suggested, well, this kind of misinformation gets passed around on the internet, but I've never read anything about the stuff.
But you somehow have a, like, I am certain that everyone has a movie or a TV show or a song that somehow they are the only person that has a memory of it, although it does exist. Like, I've seen this pointed out with, like, tons of stuff. Like, I bring up Legend, the movie, all the time. Like, I know there are other people that have seen it, but it's like I seem to be the only one that has, like, any kind of, like, knowledge of it.
Well, because I think Ridley Scott wants you to forget about that movie.
I know he does. I know he's like...
But it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful movie. Well, but it's a terrible movie, plot-wise.
But I'm glad that you know it and acknowledge it. That, like, that's reassuring to me.
You're keeping it alive.
It's Princess Lovely, Princess Lovely Locks. Or Lady Lovely Locks.
Okay. What?
It was apparently a German cartoon that got dubbed. And we used to, like, rent it all the time from... the grocery store, and I loved it. Nobody knows about it. Is it Lady Lovely Locks or Princess? I think it's Princess Lovely Locks. Oh, Lady Lovely Locks. Yep.
So I got a question.
I've never heard of it.
Anybody ever seen this?
No.
I'm trying.
No.
Okay.
Hold on one sec, Josh. I'm throwing my glasses back on. No.
Okay. So again, to point towards something, this is a poster for a SNES video game that the Hirsch brothers rented so many times, and it's like we only have the knowledge of this game. I guarantee.
Yeah, I've never seen that game
before. And like literally because of that, Joey for my birthday got me this huge poster, and I literally framed it because I'm like, no one will ever understand this but us. But I was like, it's nice to have proof that it did exist.
Have you been able to track it down?
I have never seen a copy of the game except for the one store where we rented it from.
Hmm.
I think I've seen the ROM. I'm pretty sure it's a ROM. But, like, have I ever physically touched another copy of the game?
Was it, like, a random import?
No. It's like it was a small video game, but it was officially licensed by Nintendo. Like, literally, that ad, that poster is from Nintendo Power. So it's like it exists. And by the way, listeners, since I realized none of you could see it, it's called B.O.B. not the rapper B.O.B., but there was a game called B.O.B.
Yep, that'd be Bob. Really funny if Ash's Omnic sidekick Bob in Overwatch is a reference to that.
Oh.
It was an EA game.
Yeah, exactly. It literally has, like,
Bobby A.
It's one of those things. Like I said, everybody's got one. Nobody knows it exists.
Well, now we all do.
Well, we all do. And I'm glad that we all...
I don't know if I have anything that is...
too mainstream?
Oh, he is.
Maybe. I mean, maybe... I'm always disappointed at how few people appreciate Blaster Master.
Yeah.
So maybe that one counts. Fester's Quest was another one that, I mean, it was the same developer. Yeah.
I don't know. Sunsoft, right?
Yeah.
Mike, I'll say this. You have a pretty obscure knowledge of some TV shows that very few people have seen.
Yeah, I guess that's
for me, it's like cartoons.
For me, it was an SES video game or a 1980s action movie. But I'm glad that we all at least have memory of Die Hard, and I hope that everyone makes it a Christmas tradition to start off the holiday season.
We talked about this. We went so
Josh
deep
ran
into
back
the
in.
Plot of this movie and everything that happened in it, and man,
I don't want to ruin the plot. I want people to view this as like, you know what? I'm going
to
try a new Christmas
movie. I hope we haven't spoiled the movie for you guys. I hope you were able to, if you haven't seen it, I hope you can listen to this and still watch it and enjoy it, even though we went so deep into our analysis of everything, every moment. I hope you like Air Vents.
Yes, we did. Scene by scene. Hope you come out to the coast. Have a few laughs.
Work hard or die trying, girl.
All right. And I guess with that said, we'll say goodbye here, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. That was pretty good. Pretty good combo. You're right. Very little Die Hard.
It's
in this
fine.
Die
it's
hard
good.
Episode.
It's a tough conversation to have. So you know what? Yeah, it's a tough one. It's brutal, actually. Because I don't know. I mean, is it a? Listen, man. I agree. It's a Christmas movie, but
yeah,
it gets people worked up like really quick. Really, you know. If one of us was in this conversation, if one of us was like, I don't think it's a Christmas movie, I think
we would have gone off.
Yeah, the guys would have been shirtless just screaming at the monitors right now. It just would have been a weird